Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Where do we go from here? The questions that we ask, not only as Americans, but as global citizens. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, in the midst of social upheaval, in the midst of our lives being touched by physical danger and financial threats, where do we go from here, Lord? And the Lord says, that's not a new question. You come to me. For in me you find the one who's created light that follows darkness, summer that follows spring and winter. Come and follow me, and you will see the power which I have to transform your life, to fulfill its heavenly purpose on earth. And so, where do we go next is answered by how we are willing to come and be with him. The hymn that we sang had the opening line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Some of the earlier versions of that hymn by John Newton have the word "a worm like me." Maybe Newton was thinking in that composition of a worm that becomes a caterpillar, entering a cocoon and coming out as a butterfly. The transformation of God in nature, showing what can happen even to a worm taking on the beauty of a butterfly. But for that to occur, the worm has to be transformed into a new life. And this life happens within the cocoon. And so it is in the life of the scriptures of Acts 9 that Dr. David Thompson read for us. In the midst of this story that we see time and again in the scriptures, Acts 22, Acts 26, and in Galatians 1, these other accounts in where the conversion of Paul is told, we hear how it began for him, but we also see where that beginning and conversion took him in his transformation of discipleship. Where did he go from Paul? But each and every day was to say, "Lord, transform me more and more in your likeness and your image." Our call in the life of the Trinity family, and our call in the life of followers of Christ around the globe, particularly during the times of crisis, that we may help seekers become believers and believers become disciples. It's language that we frequently use in the life of our church family. What are we to do? Well, we're to meet people where they are, connect with their hearts, and see their hopes. And to take that and where they are in a relationship with God, and as seekers then to be able to show them how their hurts can be healed and their hopes be built by a living relationship with the one who went from the cross to the grave to the resurrection, Jesus Christ. And then as believers, letting that continue to unfold in our life by the New Testament word of being a disciple. You may be listening today as a seeker, wanting to know if this story is real and for you. And here's the good news. Whatever is most true is most real. And this is reveals the truth of God that is most real for you. And for believers wanting to know how it is that God's power can continue to transform your life in a way that you can become a change agent by continually being changed for him. This person of Saul who became Paul gives us the inspiration of how we may experience this same ongoing work within our life. This Paul, first called Saul, was a terrorist. He had terrorized the life of the early Christians. He was a part of the stoning of the first Christian martyr of Stephen. He was a part of the Hellenistic Jews that eventually would try to take his life. But he was a leader among them and the leaders of the temple there in Jerusalem. And breathing down his false sense of righteous self, with a zeal not directed to God, but a zeal directed to his own way of thinking and way of feeling, imprisoned by the wrong commitments of his life, he saw a reality that wasn't God's reality, but Maybe it was the prayer of Stephen, who on his death, looking maybe right at Saul, where the coats had been laid at his feet, and said, "Lord, forgive them their sins." Maybe that was stirring in the life of this Saul when he was making his 136-mile walk from Jerusalem to Damascus, filled with a sense of zealous righteousness that he would arrest followers of Jesus in Damascus, return them to Jerusalem, and in that returning, then they would be imprisoned or killed. He thought that was his mission, but God had a surprise for him. And through the goodness of that surprise for that Saul, he revealed a word of hope for us in all ages. When we're headed in the wrong direction, God will get our attention. And if we'll pay attention, then we can be transformed to who we need to meet, to meet the challenges that we are in the midst of. And we have the challenges today. It can be helpful. Helpful like hearing how those who've gone before us, who've experienced God's hope. Like the great aunt of a friend of mine, Tim's great aunt was born in 1903. And she did a recollection when she was of clear mind at age 93, when she was asked the question, "And what was the pandemic of the flu in 1918 to 1920 like, Aunt Addie?" And they recorded her message. And you see it on the screen. But in the recording, the message, it tells the story that it was a three-year-long flu pandemic, that more than 50 million people would die, that everyone in Aunt Addie's family would catch the flu, be threatened with death, everyone except for her mother, that her sister would become unconscious and never regain consciousness and would die, that she herself as a 15, 16-year-old would be unconscious for 7 days only to be healed and awakened again. She said they were dropping like flies on the street. You'd look out and there were hearses going by. What a gruesome scene. And she said everything closed down, even the churches. That's a reality that hit our world a century ago. And the question's been asked by historians, why have we not remembered this epidemic with such a clarity? Why is it only when we've experienced another tragedy do we go back and try to learn from what could have been learned from that? And the reason given most frequently is that they were so glad to be out of the flu pandemic, they didn't want to talk about it. And yet those who did, like Aunt Addie, give us the encouragement. When things seem worse, there can be the breakthrough of a transformation that can see us through. From this life of Saul who became Paul, this life of one who would end up writing more than a fourth of the New Testament, this one who hated people who disagreed with him, whose political way of thinking in opposition to his made them an enemy in his eye, someone who was of different skin color or racial background than his caused his heart to have hatred for them. And someone who didn't speak the religious language like he thought it ought to be spoken became his enemy. And in all of this, he thought he was doing what was right when he was dead wrong. It speaks the message for us today. It began then with his conversion. Where would he go from here? His transformation would begin by a conversion in the power of Christ Jesus. Change from the inside out. Paul, like me and like you, seekers becoming believers doesn't begin by our first getting ourselves ready and cleaned up in our own power, but it's bringing ourselves in the vulnerability of our having been misdirected, our having been wrong, and our living life, and being able to say, "I accept my need for Christ. I believe in Christ. I accept his forgiveness and commit my life to follow him." This conversion then is the transformation from the inside out. More than 58 times, Paul would use that in his later writings as this became clear to him what it meant to be transformed by Christ. He didn't have the language at the beginning, but it unfolded for him And he developed a new term of in Christ, in Christo, to say the only way to describe it is that there's an indwelling presence of God in our life as we give ourselves into the transforming power of the Christ who lived, who taught, who was perfect, who died for our forgiveness of sin, buried in the grave, risen again. It is this Christ whose power is ours. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. So on his journey to Damascus, that as he was approaching the city, he was ready to begin his work of taking the orders of people to be arrested who were followers of Jesus. And he was blinded. He was blinded by the sight. We see in Acts 9, 4 through 6, that when the light shone so brightly, he fell to the ground and he became blind where he could not see. And in the midst of that, he asked, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who is saying this, Lord?" There is an understanding of a like an echo of God's voice called the Bat Koel of God. This voice of God saying, if this is an echo from heaven to earth and that's what I'm hearing now, explain more to me, who is this, O Lord? And the answer was clear. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Stunned. Not knowing how to make sense of what was happening to his body, what he was hearing in his spiritual life. And he said, now you're to go into the city and there you will receive further instructions of what you must do. The power of conversion is all in God's hands. It is the one who created the heavens and the universe, who created you and me by name, the one who created in us the DNA of eternity. It is this one who has the power to change us from a sinner into a saint, from a terrorist into one who embraced enemies. I pray for you. And for me, and for the life of the Trinity family, and for the life of churches around the world, that we might rise to this crisis moment in world history and personal life history with the kind of humility before God to say, Lord, mold me and make me and shape me more in your image in Christ. Rich is a friend of mine now for many years. I first met Rich when he was on his way to prison. On his way to prison, he wanted to meet with a pastor and to talk about the mess that his life had become and what he could do and his addictions, his many forms of addictions that were controlling him. And that he gave into these addictions and the lure in his life and where that led him to do things for which he was so ashamed, but he knew that he didn't have the power to break the bondage that he was in. And then he prayed the prayer that we must all pray. Oh Lord, change me. Change me. Change my darkness into the light that you give. Change my sin into your grace. Change me, Lord. And Rich prayed the prayer and went to prison, where I and others would visit him in the federal pen, where he would continue in a form of discipleship and transformation, where he would come out of the prison and continue to go through AA and forms of recovery, and having mentors in his life, investing into him in such a way that today, Rich is still a wild man, but he's a good wild man. He hasn't been domesticated in which that wild spirit inside of him, but he's been disciplined in his wildness. He's been guided into a tenderness as a father and as a husband and as a friend. He's been shaped by this tenderness of God in his life, transformed, changed radically by a conversion that began, but it took discipleship to continue to complete it. And so for Rich, for me, and like you, like it was for Paul, our conversion leads to a commissioning. That we're commissioned by our conversion into the purpose of our life, the purposes of God at work within your talents, God shaping your finances, God shaping your time commitments, God shaping the questions that you ask, even in COVID-19. Lord, what do you want me to do in this season of life? And the Lord will say to you, follow me. Now, give to me this day. Give to me all of your talents and your commitments, and let me be your power through them. I'll help you to say the no's you need to say, and I will give you an anointing beyond your own capacity to say what is right. Paul would say this to the life of the early church that was divided among more than 300 languages spoken in the Roman Empire. People of very different ethnic backgrounds. And in that world, Paul would merge in a model under God's authority, a church that truly would be multinational. It really would be multi-ethnic. It would be people from many walks of life coming together as one brother and sister. That's the word that the world needs today. From our lives, from the life of Trinity, the life of our church and movement in the world is to show how that can be done. This same Paul, as he said, that we become then as ambassadors of reconciliation for Christ. When he said this, Paul, who later in his life would see what God was doing through him, therefore anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now Paul, who was being transformed in his spiritual life, meant he was to rethink differently. He had to unlearn things in order to learn what he needed to know about people in the world through the light of God. But a lot of his story just needed to be baptized. A lot of his story simply needed to be immersed under God's authority. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He could speak Hebrew. He could speak Greek. He could speak Aramaic. And in the midst of the languages that he could speak, he was multicultural, which is exactly what would be needed to take the gospel to a divided world that could be united through Christ. He understood the inner workings of political power and religious life. He knew how the Sanhedrin worked and how it would work in religious authorities. He knew how not to be intimidated when coming before kings and governors, because he was under the authority of the Christ. And in that authority, not only could he find his place, but we find his place. Now, we can think, gosh, that's a great story, but what am I to do in that transformation for the lives of others? That's where the story of Ananias is helpful. When Paul was converted, when God got his attention leading into his conversion on the road to Damascus, he was to go to the house of Judas. There's no more description of that. Can you imagine Judas having been told that this Saul is being brought into your house where he's supposed to recover? And he gave him the gift of hospitality. And Ananias, in his own prayer life, who was a believer of Christ in Damascus, the Lord told him in the midst of a prayer, you're to go to the street called Straight, to the house of Judas, and you're to pray a prayer that will heal the eyes of Saul. And you're to give him the commission that he is to be the one that will speak the gospel to Gentiles and also to Jews. But also I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Acts 9:15-16. Now Ananias had that in prayer time. He had probably been praying, Lord, it is said that Saul is coming to Damascus. He's going to be persecuting us, your followers here. We pray that you stop that. Pray that you protect us. And the Lord said, I have. But Ananias, you're to be part of the prayer answer. You're to go there and pray over him. And Ananias said, really? You know what he wanted to do to me, and you want me to pray for him and bring your healing in his life? And God said, trust this power of transformation, Ananias. He is being changed. And so instead of talking himself out of that prayer experience, it said in verses 17 and 18 that he went to the house and he placed his hands on the one who wanted to place his hands on Ananias, grab the collar, throw him into jail, take him back to Jerusalem where he could be stoned. Instead, he placed his hands on, called him a brother. Oh, this is a time that we're to place our hands on people with gentleness and strength and call out brother and sister. To embody that message And he prayed the prayer for his eyes to be healed, and they were healed. He prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon him, and the Lord did. And then he was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, raised to walk in a new life. The power of the resurrection unfolded. Then what was discovered is that everything about this Saul, now using his Greek name Paul, was that he was to be transformed in every area of his life. Priscilla Donahue shared with me yesterday, I mean on Friday, around a time that we were visiting. She said, I want to thank you that we're reading Acts one chapter at a time, because the book is so powerful, and how we can take time and look at each story and see within each story how God was at work and how people's lives were transformed and how they were the tough case studies that they were in the midst of, and that how we can apply that same truth in our lives today. And that's the promise of the Spirit for each of us, that we may take this written word of God and let it speak the living word of God into our soul with that transformation for the commission of our lives, that we can be a community. Saul experienced conversion and took the name Paul. He experienced the commission and the purpose of his life, and then he helped to form community. As community was used by God in his life to help form and fashion him, so he was to help create this community. And this is the toughest thing to do in our world today, to create community. That's why the church can modeling, the life of the Trinity family, modeling what it means to truly be a community of people changed and changing. People who are being converted and discipled, doing this work of God. That's how the change occurs. We become more and more like Christ as more and more of like Christ is shaped inside of us by our obedience of an Ananias, by the obedience of doing what it is the Lord is calling us to do. Later, Paul would write 58 times, "Our Lord, oh, you are our Lord." Only once did he say, "My Lord." He understood that there was this community of the people, the followers of Christ, changed and people being changed by the power of Christ, that we were in this together, and how we today in our lives can use our language, we language, us language, or use language, how may I help, as an invitation to become together. The early church broke boundaries. This same Paul, who had been such a bigot, said, "Now in Christ Jesus," Galatians 3:28, "there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female," that there is a unity of equality in each and every person. He embodied that message, and he would be whipped and stoned and persecuted and jailed and ultimately executed by being decapitated, because he lived that message. But in how he lived and was willing to die, he showed that the power of the resurrection of Jesus gets a hold of our lives and changes us in a way that we become his change agents in the world. Now, Aunt Addie's writing at the beginning, they used the beginning of the sermon, is a clear reminder that in that pandemic, 50 million people died. World War I had just ended. America was in a recession. It was incredibly painful. And many people thought it would mean the return of Christ. Jesus said, "Only the Father knows the hour in which the Son will return, when history will make that turn into an eternity where life on earth comes to its close. Only the Father knows. Many people have tried to predict when by trying to control the sovereignty of God, and how foolish is that? My own sense of the Scripture and the Spirit is that the Father's time pays attention to how his people are being responsive during the crises. We can choose to destroy ourselves as a world, as a people. Our country can choose to become weaker and weaker, or we can choose and influence the course of history to put a marker in eternity by truly letting ourselves be this community transformed by Christ and doing the unusual like Jesus did. So in Acts 9, 26 through 27, when the same Saul, early in his conversion, after being converted in Damascus, he went to the desert of Arabia. He probably went to the Mount Horeb and revisited the vision of Moses. He saw the Red Sea in the far south. He looked at the Dead Sea, maybe went to Petra and the king of the Nabataeans. Then he went to Jerusalem, but none of the apostles wanted anything to do with him because they didn't believe the story that he had changed. But there was a Barnabas. There was a Barnabas doing the same kind of ministry that an Ananias did. The son of encouragement went to Saul, now Paul, heard his story, saw the change, took him into the apostles' presence and said, "Shame on you. He is a brother. Trust him. Receive him." And so they did. And was it easy for him afterwards in Jerusalem? He began to tell the story of Jesus and change and community and his commission. The Hellenistic Jews, the same ones he had once been a part of, the same ones who had stoned Stephen, the same ones who wanted to stone others, then tried to kill him. So he was taken out of the city, went back to his home place, and stayed there as he was continuing to be prepared for the future. And what occurred then in the life of the church at that time is there was a period in Judea and Galilee and Samaria where peace took hold, where the people were strengthened, and this church was bold and grew. Oh, what a time it is for us to be filled with the wild power of God's transformation, that we will be his people, bringing his transforming message to the age in which we live. The clarity of in Christ alone. The clarity of Christ who then opens an entire new life for us and a new way of living for all. And as we embody that message, we are being who we need to be in the midst of this crisis. Be this person of hope. Be this one who understands the power of God is offered to each one to have this hope. I pray that as you're worshiping by Facebook Live or a live stream or here in person, that the Spirit is touching your heart with a clarity that you've been seeking to know this Jesus. He's speaking to you. It may sound different to you than it had to Saul, but it's the same Jesus speaking to you. Maybe in a very quiet way, like he first spoke to me. At this time, the Lord is saying to you, yes, you've accepted me as Savior, but I need for you to trust me more as Lord. I need for you to let me give you radical obedience to be my change agent in a world that needs to be changed. Trust me. Keep growing in this change. And just like Saul becoming Paul said, it's not about my Lord, but our Lord, the community of faith, the church. So we as Trinity, serving on behalf of God in our region, also need you individually and as families, coming to bring our very best to you so that you may live your best life in Christ. It's a time. If by the broadcast, if you are making a decision for Christ, that you will use this as a time to just send a message, and we'll get the message and we'll follow up with you this week. If you're here in person and you would like to pray somewhere up front, you may do so. But my encouragement is for you to stay where you are and pray there boldly into God's presence. Now, after the service, I'll be up here for a few minutes. And if you'd like to talk more about your relationship to Christ, I'll be here. for you. Let the Lord lead you as we sing.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.